Corn is actually very aromatic when it comes into bloom, when those tassels come up. So there's a lot that you do smell, and there's a lot that you see, you know, as you're driving down the roads. Or hear. That's right. You know, chickens squawking or roosters crowing, which is, the story is about, but, you know, pigs oinking, cows mooing, goats bleating. Yeah, it's all part of the rural experience. So they are seeking to preserve this. France has seen an increased number of social conflicts between long-term residents of rural communities and the new arrivals. One emblematic case involved a rooster called Maurice, who was put on trial in July 2019 after neighbors complained about his early morning crowing. However, a court in Roquefort, western France, rejected the neighbors' complaint of noise pollution and ordered them to pay 1,000 euros, about $1,200 in damages. The case came to symbolize growing divisions between rural and urban France, as neighbors were city dwellers who only visited Saint-Pierre de Olonne a few times a year. He's a rooster. Roosters have the desire to sing. Corinne Fessu, who owned Maurice, said at the time of the trial, "That is the countryside. We must protect the countryside," she added. Christophe Seveux, mayor of Saint-Pierre, told CNN the verdict was common sense, adding, "I am all for preserving French traditions. The rooster cry is a French tradition that needs to be preserved." Maurice is now sadly deceased. And I think there might be a viewing in the oven at... But Gerard mentioned a rooster in a tweet celebrating the new law, writing, "A posthumous victory for Maurice the rooster, a symbol of rural life."
I heard that Maurice was also a picker and a grinner.
I'm sure he did a lot of scratching out in the yard in his time.
Preserving the sights, sounds, and smells of the rural France, French countryside.
Well, that does sound like a nice idea. Makes me want to go there.
Well, you know, there seems to be, even though we're only three shows in, there just seems to be a running theme to our episodes, and that is space.
Space.
I think we almost need to create like a little corner in our show or a weekly space called This Space for Rent or something, because we're always talking about space, at least the last two episodes we did, and we're not going to disappoint, because once again we're going to talk about space and SpaceX.
Space is back. Did you see all the space television shows that are coming out?
It's hip. It's in. It's the big new frontier. There's commercials based on space.
Lots of them.
Yeah. So, you know, people like driving on the moon, or they have a Mars rover that tips over, and that's just in commercials. And you're right, there's a bunch of shows coming out. There was a pretty interesting one, I forget the name now, that I thought actually appealed to me, because, you know, I'm not the big sci-fi fan.
No. But I think, isn't there one on Apple TV that's, I just started to see the commercials for it, not that I have Apple TV, but where there's going to be a new kind of space race, and apparently there's people establishing military bases on the moon, so...
So
a little frightening, but you
know, that's just fiction. So.
Space is back.
It's apparently not the final frontier.
Apparently not. No.
Well, on February 1st, SpaceX announced plans for the first ever all civilian mission to space, a major milestone for private space flight and the nascent space tourism industry. Because they predict, I guess, space tourism is going to be big. I don't know.
Surely there's a lot of wallets to be have dollars harvested from.
I just don't like it because nobody can hear you scream in space.
That's right. In space, no one can
hear
you.
I think
you
would scream a lot if I was in space. Like, I don't know.
Wow,
it's
really moving very fast.
I don't know if I could take all the G-forces and all. I'm getting nauseous just thinking about it. The mission aboard SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft will feature a four-person crew led by Jared Isaacman, the founder and CEO of Shift for Payments, a Pennsylvania-based web payment processing company. Jared is originally from New Jersey. The flight is expected to launch sometime in the fourth quarter of 2021, according to SpaceX. It's going to be this year.
Yes.
Not that far away when you think about it. When you've got a brand new mode of transportation, you have to have pioneers, SpaceX founder CEO Elon Musk told NBC News' Tom Costello. Things are expensive at first, and as you are able to increase the launch rate, increase the production rate, refine technology, it becomes less expensive and accessible to more people. I just don't see, like, Joe Q person donning a spacesuit and going into space like on a regular basis, like walking up like you're in the bus depot and getting a ticket. Can I
get? I need to get to the space station. Yeah. Maybe it'll be like Uber. You'll just like have an app on your phone and you'll just flag down a spaceship.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should pioneer the first space app for space rideshare.
There you go. Well, this is kind of like a rideshare, what Elon Musk is doing
proposing,
here.
Yeah. Private citizens have flown into space before, but these space tourists typically pay to hitch rides into orbit alongside trained NASA astronauts or Russian cosmonauts. Isaacman's flight will be the first time a crew made up entirely of private citizens will venture into space, so no astronauts will be in the capsule. I guess that's right.
I guess so. To call it.
The crew members will undergo training by SpaceX, including mission simulations for emergency preparedness and how to handle orbital mechanics during their flight. Something tells me it's a lot less than when you go through like a fire drill in your office building where you have to go out into the parking lot and stay there. I think there's a little bit more involved with that.
Yeah. When you go on a cruise ship, right? Don't they?
Yeah. When you first, at the very first day, they assemble you and tell you where the lifeboats are and all of that.
And you're like, lifeboats? Will I need those?
Well, the one that I was on back in 2017, they actually also told you to wash your hands. So
yeah, that was pretty fortuitous.
They had a big video about that. That was kind of it was a funny video. I thought it was hilarious. Well, anyway, Isaacman said in a statement that the mission, dubbed Inspiration 4, is the realization of a lifelong dream and a step towards a future in which anyone can venture out and explore the stars. Anyone, that is, with millions of dollars to spend on the ride. SpaceX did not disclose how much Isaacman paid for the flight, but Musk said he hopes these early joyrides lay the groundwork for more space tourism in the future, beyond just what billionaires who are able to afford the flights for now. It's like when America went to the moon in 69, it wasn't just a few people. Humanity went to the moon, he said. We all went there with them, and I think it's something similar here. So I just, little postscript here. I just want, little footnote. Elon Musk was born in 1971, so he wasn't around when they landed on the moon. I actually was. I was small. I was a toddler. I actually do remember it, though. And I just had to interject that Elon Musk was born after we landed, after the United States landed on the moon.
Right.
An all-civilian mission is a huge stepping stone for us and the private space flight industry, but also presents enormous challenges. Musk says SpaceX top priority will be to maximize safety of the crew. Any mission where there's a crew on board makes me nervous, he says. The risk is not zero.
No, it is not.
The expedition is part of a charity initiative to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, in addition to giving $100 million to St. Jude. And you might have seen the commercials already on TV. The first one aired during the Super Bowl,
yeah.
Isaacman said he is donating 3 other seats in the Dragon spacecraft to crew members who will be specifically selected for the humanitarian flight. Donors who give as little as $10 to St. Jude will receive entry into a raffle for a chance to snag a seat aboard the Crew Dragon. The competition started in the beginning of February and will run until February 28th. The winner will be selected by an independent panel of judges. So you go into this raffle. So you donate to St. Jude. You go to the website, which is the Inspiration 4 website. And you go and you donate as little as $10. You go into a raffle. Then they decide who else is going to be on this flight.
Yeah, because there's also people who start a website. I guess it's...
I think I cut that piece out.
Yeah. So there are apparently people who start a business on his website will also... They're going to select one of these entrepreneurs to also go into space. So you just started a business. Now you're being launched into space. It makes sense. It feels like that sometimes, so...
Well, there you go. Yeah. I guess there's a parallel there. It's just, I don't know.
No, I'm just joking.
No, but I mean, launching... Which would I rather, launch a business or launch inside a spaceship? I would rather launch a business.
You'd rather launch a business. That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I appreciate this tremendous responsibility that comes with commanding this mission. I want to use this historic moment to inspire humanity while helping to end childhood cancer here on Earth, Isaacman said. Isaacman is a trained pilot who has flown both commercial and military aircraft, and he will command this historic mission. The Inspiration 4 mission will travel into orbit aboard SpaceX Dragon spacecraft from Launch Complex 39A at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral, Florida. SpaceX has been launching rockets from the Launch Complex 39A since 2017, and the historic pad was previously used for both space shuttle flights and the Saturn V launches during NASA's Apollo Moon program. During the multi-day mission, the Dragon capsule will circle the Earth once every 90 minutes along a customized flight path, according to SpaceX. So, like, once you're up there, you're there up for multi-days. I don't know how feel about that.
Yeah, that you're just going to be floating around a capsule.
Yeah, and you're not really going anywhere.
No.
You're just in space.
But I hear it's really nice.
I imagine it is, but don't you think after doing it for a couple of days, you'd be like, all right, I want to go back to Earth now?
Yeah, me, I could maybe would rather just sit on a sandy island with a palm tree and some gentle waves lapping.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd feel. I think I feel pretty claustrophobic in a capsule with a jumpsuit on and eating, I don't know what they eat up there, but it's not like you're going to have a five-star
meal. Well, maybe that's the next, the next
part of space tourism.
Like Wagyu in a tube or something?
I don't know. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, during the 90-day mission... Oh, I said that right once every... And I'll customize plat. Okay. So, at the end of the expedition, the spacecraft will re-enter the planet's atmosphere and splash down off the coast of Florida.
So you do get a trip to Florida and all of this.
Yeah, you do. But you can take a trip to Florida. You could do it for like $99 one way or something, right?
What's the specials this time of year?
I think they're even better than that these days. The first space tourist, American multimillionaire Dennis Tito, launched to the International Space Station on an 8-day expedition in 2001. Tito reportedly paid $20 million to fly to the orbiting outpost aboard a Russian Soyuz spacecraft. Since then, only 6 other private citizens have flown in space, though the space tourism industry could soon be ramping up as companies such as Jeff Bezos' Blue Origins and Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic began offering orbital jaunts later this year. So they're going to begin. It's in the past tense. Begin offering orbital jaunts later this year. Okay, so, like, this beats the heck out of anything at Great Adventure.
It definitely does, but once again, in space, no one can hear you scream.
That's
so
true.
It's a little different from Great Adventure. People hear you screaming as you are flying around on, I don't know, does Rolling Thunder exist anymore?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think that's been dismantled.
I think they dismantled it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything from, except the runaway train might still be there in the loft loom. I think that might be it.
Yeah, I think you're, there you go.
Anyway, last month, SpaceX also announced their first private space station crew, led by former NASA astronaut Michael Lopez Alegria. They will launch They will launch to the orbiting lab next January. Lopez Alegria will be joined by 3 men who are each paying $55 million to spend 8 days at the space station.
Wow.
For $55 million, you can almost buy your own entire resort in the Caribbean, I imagine.
Probably buy something very nice for $55 million. So I'm glad. I guess this is a singular experience.
I don't know.
It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for everybody.
Better to do with $55 million, I think.
But once you've got this much competition, I mean, you're getting 2 other commercial
space lines. So what's the price going to go down to? Like $2 million a ticket or something?
Yeah, there you go. That's just a family vacation.
In 2018, SpaceX said Japanese billionaire Yusuke Maezawa, founder and CEO of the fashion retailer Zozo, would be the first private passenger to fly around the moon on a mission that's planned for sometime in 2023. Hmm. Isaacman's flight is not expected to venture as far, but must joke that SpaceX is open to other itineraries. It's his mission, must said. He can go wherever he likes.
Isaacman is actually interesting. As I was compiling the story this morning, I actually did some reading on his Wikipedia, and he actually broke the record for flying around the world in a light plane.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and he actually broke it by a lot. He tried to break it, and then he came up like an hour or two short, and then he tried it again, and he broke the record by like 20 hours or something.
Wow.
Or a long time.
Yeah, no, he is a highly skilled pilot. He really has,
some serious chops, like Chuck Yeager type.
Yeah, it is. It's
flying chops.
He's serious. He's not just, some guy in a Cessna on the weekend, flying out of Sky Manor or something. Not to put that down. I'm just saying.
Sky Manor
he has actual,
mostly,
like, hardcore, like, he could probably operate a spacecraft confidently kind of credentials.
Yeah, if you're going to go into space with a non-NASA astronaut, I would definitely want to go into space with somebody like him. So.
Okay.
So, New York is dead, Rosalind.
When did that happen?
I don't know. An eye-grabbing billboard in Los Angeles has a sharp message to those who fled the Big Apple during the COVID-19 pandemic. New York is dead. Don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
The massive sign on Sunset Boulevard, which went up January 25th, is the work of Williamsburg Art Collective, The Locker Room, New York City, and the brainchild of artists Samara Bliss and Graham Fortegang. We had an idea to say to the New Yorkers who left that we're doing okay without you. The collective's founder, Samara Bliss, told the Post on Tuesday, the 26th, I believe. It also,
I'm sorry, I forgot to. I usually go back and
catch those, and I usually catch them too, and sometimes we don't. I believe it was the 26th of January. It also meant to be a love letter to people who have stayed in New York. The phrase, New York is dead, is a nod to the titles of early pandemic essays about the droves of people leaving the city, including one in the Post that prompted a rebuttal op-ed from Jerry Seinfeld's titled, So You Think New York is Dead? It's Not. What Jerry really hit on the head is that New York isn't for everyone and not everyone can make it here, said Bliss, adding that Seinfeld's essay brought her to tears. We joke in our art collective that New York has trimmed the fat. It's just that real gritty New Yorkers that are left here, she said.
So, like, it's like the sieve. They kind of, like...
Yeah, we just got rid of the fair-weather New Yorkers.
Right.
Yeah.
There's people who just wanted that New York experience, but the true gritty people who just... Because there are those who are just, like...
Yeah.
Hardcore, New York is in my blood.
Yeah.
I don't venture out of the five boroughs, except on a rare occasion. Here I am, because everything I have to offer, everything the world has to offer me is here in this city. Those type of New Yorkers.
That's true. And, you know, we are genetic New Yorkers.
Yes, we are.
Yes, our mother did spend her formative years there in her young adulthood as well. In addition to the billboard by Bliss and fellow artists Graham Fortgang and Am Schwartz, the collective also had a prop plane fly over Miami last weekend with the same sign.
These are pretty ambitious plans. Like, we put up a billboard in L.A. and we flew a banner over Miami.
There you go. While the signs in L.A. and Miami could be taken as snark toward the mass of recent transplants from New York now settled in those cities, Bliss said the real message she wants to send is the cultural flame of New York is alive and well.
Well, it's going to be there no matter what. I mean...
Yeah, it's not going anywhere.
New York always rises up after every challenge.
Yeah.
I haven't known a time where it hasn't.
Yeah, that's true. People who have stayed in New York are so proud of the city and the fact that they weathered the storm, she said. The impact on people who left was less important to me. If people move back to New York, it's totally fine. The collective will also be launching a campaign in the five boroughs as a nod to what they've dubbed the Double Down Club, which Bliss described as anyone who stayed in New York as here to rebuild and is so in love with the city they could never leave. It'll include signs across the city and subways with slogans such as No Broadway, but plenty of characters.
It's true.
Yeah. A gallery show from diehard New York artists is also expected in March.
All right. That was very interesting. I found that was an interesting campaign.
I think so. It's neat and a little bit of a mood lifter for all those New Yorkers out there.
All right. Well, you know, the last year has been quite a year. I think we can all say that, and that's not an understatement. and when you think the fact that this next story is like, wow, really?
And that too.
And it just makes it seem to make the times complete. But Brood 10, Locusts, they're coming this
May. They're coming.
They're coming. Yay, Locusts.
Locusts.
17 years is up and Brood 10 is going to spring up from the ground. Periodical cicadas known as 17-year locusts will reemerge this spring and summer. No other insects cause as much curiosity and wonder as periodical cicadas do. And I never knew that they were called periodical cicadas.
I did not know that either. Does that mean they have like a magazine? Do they like to read magazines at the library?
I was just going to make that comment. Yeah. It's like they're locusts who read magazines.
Yes.
Their sudden appearance in late May or early June is dramatic and is usually noisy. Actually, ear-splittingly noisy if you experience them
up close and personal.
Yeah. I mean, 2013 was the last time. I think that was that's Brood 2.
I thought that was Brood 2.
those are the most predominant locusts.
Right. But this brood 10 is also a very...
Those two. The 2 and 10 are the two big ones.
Yeah.
Because every year I get some locusts that rise up and I find their shells clinging to the side of my home.
Right.
Every year.
Right.
So, but brood 10's big. Brood 2 was the one, if people will recall, in 2013, that was ear-splittingly loud, particularly in... if you were up in, not so much Hunterdon, it was pretty loud, but it was even louder when you went to Somerset County. I was
right.
working.
Was it like Bridgewater area?
I was in the Basking Ridge area at the time, and it was ear splitting, and they were like everywhere, and you stepped outside, and you know they'd fly at you and cling on you, and it was, Anyway, their sudden appearance is usually dramatic and usually noisy as the male produces a seemingly endless whirring sound. Usually the chorus begins shortly after daybreak and continues uninterrupted until evening. In the heavy areas of emergence, the noise created can be deafening. The insects mate within 1 week, and females begin to deposit their eggs 7 to 10 days after emergence. After 6 or 7 weeks, eggs deposited in the twigs by female cicadas hatch, and the tiny young nymphs drop to the ground, dig into the soil, and remain there for the next 17 years. Can you imagine? Like, you live pretty much your whole entire life underground in the dirt.
Yep.
17 years go by. You're a bug. And it's what's 17 years must feel like a million to a bug.
You would think, right?
And then you come up and in 2 weeks, it's poof.
But you get to fly during those 2 weeks.
That's true. Fortunately, cicadas are not especially destructive. They do not feed to any extent as adults. There is no stripping of foliage, as with gypsy moth caterpillars. Injuries to trees is caused by female cicadas as they use their ovipositor to insert their eggs in twigs using the blades of a curved saw-like egg-laying apparatus at the end of their abdomen. The female cicada punctures the bark of a twig and makes a pocket in the wood. Moving from one twig to another, a female can lay 400 to 600 eggs. Up to 80 species of trees, shrubs, and herbaceous plants are commonly used by cicadas for egg-laying, so they're not too choosy.
No, not overly choosy.
Those preferred by female include oak, hickory, apple, beech, and grape. The process causes the twigs to die from the egg-laying site to branch to tip, perhaps a foot or so. Thus, the leaves turn brown and the branch tip usually breaks off or flags at the egg-laying site. In most instances, this loss of branch tips amounts to natural pruning. So, I guess overall, it's actually advantageous to the planting.
To a certain extent. I would be concerned for the vineyards and orchards around.
Yeah,
because
they do like grapes. Grapes is one of the grape branches.
Yeah.
Are, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that you want to be very specific and targeted when you're, you know, with your grapes. But certainly for the home gardener, not a huge threat. In fact, possibly helpful.
When the eggs hatch, the nymphs fall from the plants and enter the soil when they burrow 18 to 24 inches into the ground in wooded forest areas. In apple orchards, they feed 2 to 18 inches below the soil line. As many as 104 cicada nymphs have been found in 1 square foot of soil under apple trees.
Wow.
The nymphs are fully grown after the 7th or 8th year, but continue to feed and develop until the spring of the 17th year. Several weeks before... Yeah, I know. Like, they have a very long life underground.
Yeah, they do.
Several weeks before emerging from the ground, the nymphs start to burrow upward. When the proper night arrives, the nymph leaves the ground in vast numbers and walk to upright objects. A tree is an ideal goal. If a tree is not within range, a bush, blade of grass, post, utility pole, or similar objects, such as my house, will do. Each nymph secures a firm hold on the object, splits its nymphal skin along the middle of its back, and works itself out. The transformation is complete in 1 hour or less. The newly emerged adult is soft and white. As the skin hardens, it also darkens, and in a few hours, the cicada is fully mature. The adult cicada is 1 5/8 inches long. Most of the body is black. Its legs and eyes are reddish. Some of the veins in the nearly transparent wings are orange. For convenience of record, emerging broods have been designated by Roman numerals. Roman numerals 1 through 17 are assigned to 17-year broods and species. They are assigned as though a brood were to emerge each consecutive year. The system began in 1893.
Yep.
That's a long time ago.
It is.
Brood 1, 13-year species found in the southern states, are numbered 18 through 30. The habitats for all species overlap, and there may be some gaps in both 17 and 13-year broods. 17-year broods are referred to as doubtful, unimportant, and almost extinct.
Wow.
That's kind of insulting.
Yeah.
You're a doubtful brood. Generally, brood survival, and, you know, study up, because this probably is going to be a question or two on Jeopardy.
That's right, and you know, we are Jeopardy fans.
Yeah. Generally, brood survival depends on habitat survival, forest, parks, states, and areas undisturbed by construction, soil, and or tree removal, usually retain their periodical cicada populations. However, cicada population density may vary from one emergence to another. Brood 2 and 10 are the largest broods found in New Jersey. Many interesting superstitions have evolved due to the usual spectacular emergence of periodical cicadas. American Indians thought the cicada's periodical appearance had an evil significance.
Ooh.
Early American colonists had never seen periodical cicadas, so when they appeared, suddenly by the millions, they thought of a locust plague.
Well, you would think that, right? I mean, we're familiar with that. That happens in Europe. It happens in Asia as well and other parts of the world. You would think all these strange bugs show up, you might be deprived of food.
And it's not the case with these, with the cicadas.
They not just, these guys.
But they will be upon us in May en masse. Insecticide applications are usually not effective or warranted because new cicadas emerge every day and they can fly as far as a half a mile. The exception to this would be applications in nurseries to protect susceptible plants. In residential areas where cicadas have been previously abundant, postpone planting young shrubs and trees from spring till fall. So do that this year. If you're planning on planting some young shrubbery,
that's right.
Hold off till the fall until the cicadas are gone, so that'll keep them safe. Small trees and shrubs may be protected by covering them with an open weave cloth. The cloth should be put in place as cicadas appear and should remain for about 5 weeks. The next occurrence of brood 2 will be 2030, and brood 10 will be in 2038.
So, enjoy them while you've got them.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was enlightening, and I look forward to hearing them. I actually do have recordings of the last time that this brood has emerged. I actually have both recordings of brood 2 and brood 10, because I believe brood 2 was the most recent one. I took a field recorder. Brood 10, I had lesser equipment at the time, so I had to go out there with a microphone and a mixer and all that stuff. And I do have that cassette tape somewhere. I just couldn't access it before today's show. Yeah, because we kind of decided late to put this story in. But it's a good story, and I look forward to hearing the cicadas hum again, and hopefully they won't be doing any damage to my favorite orchards or vineyards. I think we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into some Zoom do's and don'ts. Yeah.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, we're back.
All right.
So we're back on Random Walk tonight, and I have taken a random walk to the boardroom, perhaps, or the virtual boardroom.
Virtual boardroom. That's very important this past year.
It really has been.
I don't know how many people had heard of Zoom before March of 2020.
Yeah, I had done some Zoom meetings, but I had never, never like I do now. So I even have one tomorrow morning. So
and these do's and don'ts don't apply just to Zoom. They apply to any basically, right? Or I mean, some of these are general good rules for any for the other software that's out there.
That's
that
true.
Permits meetings.
That's true. Any kind of meeting, you might be on a WebEx, you might be on a Teams, Skype, any of those.
Google Hangout,
or I think it's called Google Meet now. There's even a Facebook tool, and dozens more that aren't even branded that you can certainly use. I think BlueJeans is another popular one.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I hear that's a highly secure, easy one to use. All right, so let's get started. Here's a first do, check your internet connection. If you're relying on Wi-Fi, make sure that everything is good before starting the meeting. Do check your speaker and mic, and that usually gives you if you're on Zoom, it will give you that little box that says, hey, check this out, you know, and you can test that.
Yeah, you want to test your audio or...
Yeah. Yeah, it says buried in Zoom preferences is an audio tab where you can test the mic and speakers. Check these before every meeting. No, seriously. And there's also, if you go in, once you're in your meeting and you've got your little microphone and your little camera up, you can actually click on those, and there's drop downs where you can go into other settings. So one of the applications, I was working with a musician, and he directed me so we could hear each other better and more in real time to some finer settings that worked for exchanging music virtually.
Oh, neat.
Yes. So you might want to check that out, too, depending on what you're doing. Do check your video. Zoom's preferences screen is the place to do this. Click on video. Don't have a Zoom call in now we've got some don'ts. Don't have a Zoom call in a crowded place. Coffee shops are a great alternative for networking from the office, but they aren't always the best place to have a video call because they can have a lot of background noise.
Mm-hmm.
If possible, have your call in a quiet area where there won't be a lot of people behind you, and then end up on the call. And, you know, there might be somebody there trying to have a personal conversation.
Oh,
and
yeah, you don't want that to be publicized.
You don't. Okay. And if you're, like, say you are in a public space or maybe even in your home, you're going to want to have something maybe soft behind you, like a curtain or something, to absorb some of that sound so you don't get a lot of echoiness. So that's an important thing to think about, too. And one of the things that people have also recommended, I don't think it made it into this, but they recommended that possibly that your earbuds that came with your phone, that they also usually have the microphone, you can use those with this, because we're going to talk about headphones in a moment, but use that because you've got the microphone, and now that microphone's more likely to pick up you rather than...
Yeah, background noise.
Mm-hmm. So that's not a bad place to start either. Don't... This is an important one. I don't think people think of this one. Don't sit next to another person on the same Zoom call. If you and a coworker are on the same video call, make sure you're not located really close together. This can cause interference for both of you, which can make the call unpleasant very quickly. So something to keep in mind. You can get cancellation feedback.
If you're both with your computers on your meeting,
together. Right? If you're sitting next to each other, it's... But, you know, obviously you want to, you know, be with your other coworkers too. Another big don't update Zoom or your operating system immediately prior to the meeting.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. You know, some days, and like I'll probably do this tomorrow morning because I'm a big part of the meeting tomorrow morning, is I will probably get up quite early as I'm going about my day and start the computer and make sure it hasn't pulled in any patches because, you know, today's Tuesday, so it might be Patch Tuesday, and if that pulls it in, that might really block up my computer and make it move slow, so I might actually want to just do that and do a reboot before I jump on my Zoom call, but not immediately before. Give yourself plenty of time. Some of these can take up to 90 minutes to install.
Wow.
Another big don't rely on your laptop's battery. Always plug it in.
Yeah.
If you can't plug it in... Try and make sure it's fully charged, but even at that, they can go out at the worst possible time. Another thing, don't have distractions on the screen. Facebook, Twitter, email, and the like are all distractions, and people on the other end of the meeting will be able to tell if you're distracted by things. Close anything that's not needed. Not only does that reduce the potential for distraction, but it also means that you're less likely to have something pop up and make noise.
You know, the thing is, my email notifications pop up in the corner.
Yeah, no matter what. Like, my Facebook pops up no matter what.
I wish there should be something that turned that off or put a do not disturb on.
Yeah, I would like that to just, you know, stop. Or when I'm in an app, that just to have that stop and not do that, certainly. So try and be present at the meeting, even though you're in another space or separate space, you can still be present at the meeting. Don't stray from the agenda. I'm not really good. If you figure out how to do that, please let me know.
That's a difficult one.
Yeah, please email me at randomwalk@gmail.com. Do mute yourself when you're not talking. That's a big thing for me, as I know, is the phone might ring or the dog might bark, so it's good to keep myself muted when I'm out there. Do use headphones. Wearing headphones helps you hear everyone more clearly and vice versa. Do dress for the occasion. From the waist up, that is, and I would also say put on some pants, too.
Wear pants? Why is that not on here?
It's just not on here, but I was going to throw it in anyway, is put on some pants. They don't even have to be formal pants. They could be your chinos, your jeans, your sweatpants. But just apply something to your lower extremities, because You never know when the camera's going to tilt down, or, you know, or you're going to have to get up to get, you know, that cup of coffee off the Keurig. But no, go ahead. Put on some pants. But also dress nicely from the waist up. If you're having a quick video call with coworkers, casual attire works great. But if you're having a Zoom call with clients, just grab a more professional shirt before the call. Get something with a nice collar. I've seen some suit jackets.
I've been doing job interviews on Zoom and Teams, and I put on a nice blouse and a nice necklace.
That's nice.
Along with makeup, actually. I don't wear makeup here.
No, neither do I. Do make sure everyone is on their own video connection. This might be difficult to execute, but as much as possible, everyone on the call needs to have their own video. Both the sound and video qualities suffer if you try to have a group of people call one another person. This tip is really important for calls with customers, and it's an absolute for building a strong remote team culture. So I guess if you're in the same building, that maybe you should do that separately in different rooms or something. That way you have your visual and your sound, and they have their visual and their sound. And here's some security measures. These seem a little strong, but I know I've been on Zooms that have been Zoom bombed.
I know, you've told me about them. And
it can be pretty offensive or disturbing or unsettling. It certainly doesn't put you in the mood to conduct business or any kind of social action for that matter. But here's some security measures that might help. Do require a password. Scroll to meeting password and check the box. Zoom will generate a password for you. Requiring a password is the most effective thing you can do to protect your meeting. Remember to include this password in your invitations. Do check enable waiting room. This option allows you to only admit participants that you recognize as those you've invited to the Zoom session. Even if an intruder makes it this far, they can't get into the session unless you allow them in. Do consider locking the door behind you. Click Manage Participants icon on the Zoom toolbar, and then use More drop-down menu and click Lock Meeting. This option can keep unwanted folks out once everyone is in. This is a little tough to do with a networking meeting, but certainly a client meeting, you could definitely do that. The downside is that it prevents attendees from being able to sign in again if they are experiencing connectivity issues. This option is best for smaller meetings where you'll be able to see that someone has dropped out and can easily unlock the meeting to let them back in. Do control screen sharing. Block a Zoom bomber from disrupting your meeting with unwanted images. Go to the Zoom toolbar, click the up arrow next to a share screen icon, and under Who Can Share, select only Host. Depending on the version of Zoom you're using, you may need to choose advanced sharing options to get this choice. Do enable join before host unchecked. So they feel that that's important. I actually don't do that.
No, I actually let them join ahead of time.
Yeah, especially if if you're doing an early morning networking session, they can be on chatting with each other. Yeah, and if you're having connectivity issues, people aren't hanging out there waiting for the meeting to begin. They can just hang with each other. But they do, I guess they see it as a point of concern. Make sure this box in meeting options or advanced options is left blank. This keeps unwanted visitors from causing trouble before you start the meeting. So, again, maybe in a client meeting, that makes a big difference. Don't use your personal Zoom meeting ID. I can't emphasize that one enough.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the one, because it stays the same all the time.
So anybody can hack it.
Yeah, once somebody gets it, they can certainly pass it on. They might post it somewhere. Once somebody has it, they can just wreak havoc. When you schedule a meeting, scroll to Meeting ID and select Generate Automatically. This is Zoom's default choice. Don't change it. And never post your personal meeting room ID publicly. Your Zoom meeting ID URL doesn't change, so anyone who knows your ID can hop into your personal meetings.
I got to double check that.
Yeah. Do turn host and participant video off by default. Set both the host and participant video to off. Participants will still be able to turn their video back on, but this option puts another obstacle in an intruder's path. Do mute participants upon entry. Again, if they're going to get on there and do something offensive, you can stop it. It's also sometimes people don't realize that they're already on the Zoom, and you know, maybe they're petting their dog or they're talking to somebody else or they're on the phone. So this helps there too. Check this under this box under Meeting Options. This prevents uninvited guests from blasting your meeting with noise and blocks background noise from attendees who forget to mute themselves. Plan ahead for a large group. If you want to hold a large meeting, an open forum, town hall, or community gathering, the best protection is to plan ahead. Use these tips to prevent or minimize impact from a Zoom bomber. Use a Zoom-generated meeting ID rather than your personal ID. Have attendees register attend. This may dissuade crashers. Select one or more alternative hosts to help you manage the meeting in the event of an issue. Discuss potential issues with your co-hosts and create a plan to respond to technical difficulties or other disruptions. Make sure participant video is set to off. Disable the options for attendees to join before the host and enable the option to mute participants when they enter the meeting. And control screen sharing during the meeting. I can't emphasize that one enough. It can get real ugly real fast. But Zoom is really a great tool, and the many other, it doesn't have to be Zoom, the many other Teams and Skype and
WebEx.
Blue Jeans. Yeah, Blue Jeans, all of them. They're all really great tools that we're lucky to have in the situation that we're in.
Awesome. Awesome sauce.
It is awesome.
All right, so we got about 9 minutes left to go.
We got about 9 minutes, yeah.
And we're going to introduce a calendar section today.
That's right.
And then I don't know who you want me to go first since you just spoke.
Yes, please.
All right. Well, I was looking for some calendar ideas, things you can do online virtually or some things you can do in person. So here's what I came up with for this week. Musicians of the Princeton Symphony Orchestra perform Johann Sebastian Bach's The Musical Offering over four musical episodes released weekly on the orchestra's website. Wednesday, February 17th to Wednesday, March 10th. The PSO's assistant conductor, Nell Flanders, is curating the project, which is being individually recorded in musicians' homes and then combined digitally. Each segment features 1 to 6 musicians and is hosted by Flanders, who introduces the music in tandem with conversations centering on Bach and his work. Each episode is free to the online community at PrincetonSymphony.org. The project is a community extension of the orchestra's PSO Bravo education programs and includes plans to actively involve student musicians of the Youth Orchestra of Central Jersey and Trenton Music Makers in supplemental programming. These recorded presentations of Bach's music are a gift from Princeton Symphony Orchestra with participation by almost all of PSO's tenured musicians. PSO is pleased to be able to offer this excursion into Bach's measured world, a mental escape from the pandemic stresses of today, said PSO Executive Director Mark Hughes. This PSO Bravo program is free to the general public thanks to the support of sponsors who believe in arts education. To learn more about PSO Bravo education programs or to offer support, call the Symphony office at 609-497-0020. Once again, the website for attending is PrincetonSymphony.org.
All right. I do love symphony orchestras, and we have one here in Hunterdon as well.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Phyllis Mill is ready for its close-up and would like to invite artists to portray it. Artists make an important contribution to our community. They show us things we might overlook. They sharpen our vision and their visions, said Laura Womack, chair of the 92nd Annual Phyllis Mill Art Show, which will take place in autumn of 2021. Our committee wants to secure a signature image of the mill that we can use on posters, ads, postcards, social media, and the website. So we'd like to invite artists within 25 miles of the mill to submit a painting, drawing, handmade print, or collage of the mill for consideration by our committee. The winning artwork will be featured at this year's art show, and in the past, the featured image has often sold. So it's a good opportunity for artists to build their visibility to collectors. Other benefits for the artists chosen to represent the 90-year-old show started by New Hope Impressionist Painters will include a $400 honorarium, promotion of the artwork in local media, and widely in social media. Sometimes the artist is even profiled in local media. We need an artist to help us portray the mill as the iconic location for Bucks County's prestigious and long-running juried art show. Something traditional, but also something fresh. Use your creativity, said Womack. Artists who would like to learn more about should look for details at phillipsmill.org.
A lecture online from the Lawrence League of Women Voters on Wednesday, February 10th at 7 p.m., New Jersey Government and Politics, What You Want and Need to Know. You can find that at lwvlt.org. Guest speaker, Ingrid Reed, chair of the NJTV Community Advisory Board and former director of the New Jersey Project at Rutgers Eagleton Institute of Politics, discusses ways to participate in New Jersey government and politics. You can submit your questions to lwvoflawrence@gmail.com. Once again, that website is LWVLT, and that's on February 17th at 7 p.m.
Also on February 17th, Fred Miller's Lectures in Song, How Do You Keep the Music Playing, 1965 through 1988, online from 2 to 3 p.m. See the Hunterdon County Library events page at hclibrary.us/events to register. Pianist, singer, narrator Fred Miller presents his musical and anecdotal overview of the American popular song during the years following the Beatles' arrival, 1965 to 1988. This is the last installment in his Era series. Links to earlier recorded presentations that were performed at HCL, started in August 2020, can be found on the HCL website homepage.
Start your winemaking journey with a wine sampling at Grape Finale in Flemington. Sample wines made at Grape Finale to help you decide which wine you will make with them. Bring your own glass or purchase one of theirs for $3. No cost to attend. Reservations are required for 21 and older. Learn about their winemaking program, which consists of creating your own wine in 4 to 5 hours of hands-on winemaking over 4 sessions. Grape Finale has COVID-19 protocols in place. Your health and safety is their top priority. There are 2 sessions to choose from, 6:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. or from 8 to 9 p.m. offered over 4 evenings, and those are March 19th, 20th, 26th, and 27th. To make a reservation, you can call 908-237-0302 or email info@grapefinale.com. Once again, 908-237-0302 or info@grapefinale.com.
That's right. And finally, tomorrow morning at 8 to 9 p.m., and you can use all the Zoom skills I just showed you, Hunterdon County will have virtual Leeds Exchange Central. It will take place again at 8 to 9, and you can register at hunterdonchamber.org on our calendar page, where some of these events actually are also listed, so you can get more information there.
All right. Well, that just about wraps it up for us.
It really does. So thank you for tuning in this evening, everyone. This is Random Walk, a Hunterdon Chamber podcast radio show. You can follow us on Facebook at Random Walk Hunterdon. If you'd like to be a guest on Random Walk, you can contact us at randomwalkhunterdon@gmail.com.
I'm Roz Davis.
And I'm Victoria Davis.
Have a great evening.
And good night. Good night, everyone.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Vice President Kamala Harris has been taking calls with world leaders on behalf of President Biden. She recently fielded calls from Emmanuel Macron of France and Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau. As far as when we can expect President Biden to call Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, White House spokesman Jen Psaki says,
His first call with a leader in the region will be with Prime Minister Netanyahu. It will be soon.
More than 4 million people in Texas remain without power. Houston Mayor Democrat Sylvester Turner believes people have a right to be frustrated due to the long power outages in the region.
It's been a very difficult period, and it's even more difficult when you can't tell people specifically how much longer will they be without power.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code USA.
The petition to recall a Democrat governor has enough signatures.
The recall of Democrat Governor of California Gavin Newsom is nearing its goal. California Police Sergeant Adam Garcia making a statement to the Chino City Council earlier this month.
This rising crime and the escalating threat to California residents is a direct result of the failed policies put in place by Gavin Newsom. Governor Newsom has been quietly releasing thousands of inmates from prisons throughout the state. He is doing so without any threat assessment and with complete disregard for the safety of Californians.
Today, the signature reporting period closes for the Newsom recall. Next up is signature submission deadline due on March 17th. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Bitcoin is topping the $50,000 milestone for the first time. The world's largest digital currency price jumped about 3% earlier on Tuesday. It has been on the rise since Tesla announced last week that it was investing $1.5 billion in the currency and would accept it as payment. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wyatt Cox. Each and every day, the USA Radio Network produces 3 hours of the greatest radio programs of all time. Comedies, drama, suspense, it's all there. Classic radio theater. Now, if your radio station doesn't carry the program, you can find them anywhere podcasts are served, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker. Just search for USA Classic Radio Theater. Find it. USA Classic Radio Theater. You'll love it.
Democrats and Republicans are continuing to question why National Guard troops are still in Washington, D.C.
About 6,000 National Guard troops remain in Washington, D.C., protecting the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. But how much longer will those troops and fencing be surrounding Capitol Hill? Some lawmakers want an answer to that question from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Congressman Devin Nunes says he's seen no information showing that it's necessary for the troops to remain in the Capitol. The California Republican tells Fox News that it's time to send the National Guard.